Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding
Wagwan, yeah. I want to welcome you to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries with our Jamaican listeners. Brother Steubenville is listening to us here, coming from Mandeville, Jamaica. Brother Tilmanton, Dr. Seawalk McDonaldson, Kingston's Jamaica. I want to thank you for listening. And we have a minister that's on staff and will be and still will is ordained by the Holy Ghost. He has a certificate saying that he's by an organization, but the Holy Ghost does the ordination here and the teaching and the training. He's been tutored by the Holy Ghost and been taught by Jesus, not by me, just as a messenger. I didn't do any of this. This is God's work. And he has three beautiful children, United States Army veteran, wonderful children, wonderful wife. Without further ado, Minister Rodriguez Baker, you got it for 1 hour and 58 seconds.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Good evening, everybody. Good morning. Of course, I have a family. I have children, wife, and other responsibilities. Sometimes it can cause me to delay with my time here. So that's something I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to share some things on my heart about, you know, husbands and fathers, you know, in the eyes of God and the challenges of fathers and husbands, you know, dealing with children and the wives and the order of God in the household and what comes with those responsibilities, again, the challenges and, just seeking God and responsibility as a father, you know, as a husband, leadership roles, you know, that's the, gotta understand that our household as a parent, as a husband, as a man of God, our household, our children, our family is our first ministry. That's our first ministry. I know there's a lot of preachers and people out there who believe that you can do everything in the world, in the church, but your house is out of order. Well, that's not God's way. God's way is to keep your house in order. Keep your house in order. So I seriously doubt that God will have you to be out here preaching in churches and giving everybody, you know, a part of you when your house is out of order, your children are out of whack, your wife is out of whack. You can be out of whack, you know, as a husband and as a father. Just want to share some things, my experiences, some things I've been seeing, I've been noticing. A lot of challenges going on today in society that is very satanically influenced to our children, that's causing destruction, that's causing rebellion, that's causing confusion, and just by believing a lie. And, you know, me from my experience, I'm going to be talking also from my experience as a father, you know, as a husband, father of three girls, been married for 6 years. The challenges of that, you know, and it's the responsibility that comes with that. So I wanted to start off with the first scripture. We're going to go to is 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. And this one, first one, I just want to, you know, get it right off the hip, you know, like AR-15 straight to the husbands, you know, to the families, you know. You know, especially with a lot of antichrist things going on in the world, that's really causing a lot of confusion. And it's causing a lot of households to be out of order for a lot of us, a lot of people in society that believe in it's right. But, you know, based off the word of God, as true believers, that we stand firm on the word of God, we believe and stand on the word of God. So 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heralds together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. To dwell with them, to have affection with them, to love them, to honor our wives. I've seen in my time, I know I've seen in my time, the last stuff they promote in movies and TV shows, and a lot of wrong belief that they believe that the man is just more superior than the woman, so they just see the woman as, or the wives as beneath them. So they treat them in a way as if they're nothing, as if they're not to honor them. We have to honor our wives. I wouldn't say I completely understood that, but I had a sense of it. So there's a level of responsibility as a husband that we have to honor our wives. We have to see them as the weaker vessel. What does he mean by the weaker vessel? He knows that our women are a lot more weaker in emotions. They act out of emotions. A lot of women are very emotional. So we have to be sensitive to that. We also have to understand that they're also the weaker vessel physically. A woman's makeup is not as strong as ours. So it's our job as husbands to protect them. You know, all of the physical abuse that husbands today is causing on their wives is not of God. It's not of God. And in the end, it says, being heralds together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This is something I had to learn early on in my married life. I had to learn that if I'm holding bitterness and grudges against my wife and mistreating her, my wife may not see it. Your wife may not see it, but God sees it. And then you turn around and you want to go and pray to God and think he's going to hear you. Well, it clearly says is that your prayers be not hindered. Don't do it. I know it's hard. I know wives, they tend to do things that they can get under wives' skin. I know mine does. So we have to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to cleanse our hearts from all bitterness. All bitterness. We can't have grudges and bitterness against our wives, because your prayers will be hindered. God won't hear nothing you have to say, husbands. So that right there stood out the most to me as a husband, especially as the head of the house, to be the responsible one over everybody's livelihood, spiritual, mental. Don't think the stress won't get to you. And what do we tend to do when we're having stress and we don't have the sense of direction to go? We go to prayer. We go to God. Because you can't go to God with bitterness in your heart against your wife. You can be doing a lot of things right, but that right there will cause you. And I'll forget, I was watching a TV show. It was a preacher, an African preacher. And he gave a testimony about he died. The angel of the Lord came to get him, and he thought he was going to heaven. So the angel of the Lord took him to heaven, and he seen heaven, but then the angel took him to hell. And he gave his testimony of what hell is like, and he said it was the most terrifying place, you know, he ever seen. He couldn't even imagine. But then the angel, he was wondering, why would he be there? So the angel, he thinking he, as a pastor, as a preacher, done everything right, that he will for sure go to heaven. But the angel of the Lord told him, he said, if he was to die today and the Lord didn't decide to bring you back, you will spend eternity in hell. And he said, how could that be? how could that be? I'm a pastor. I preach, you know, the things of God. He said, you have extreme bitterness and hate against your wife. Against your wife. And that right there freaked him out. Because, you know, you think you do everything right. But it's just that one, remember, we got to remember, the God looks at the heart. You got to think, all of our righteousness is filthy rags. So you think you could be doing everything right in your own eye, but God judges from a whole other perspective. So let's be mindful of that, husband, that having grudges in our heart and bitterness and unforgiveness and in our hearts against our wife, God is looking at that. God is recording that. God is holding that against you. So we have to, you know, take that as a responsibility to go before the Lord and lay for our hearts and lay before the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive us and cleanse us from all of that stuff that's in our household. And also, you don't want to get the devil legal right in your household. All right? Next scripture, we're going to go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:25. Give me one minute. Ephesians 5:25 reads, start at 21, Ephesians 21, and it reads, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkles or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. So I want to go back to the top. Well, on verse 25, it says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that is something that, as a husband, when I hear that, that would seem totally impossible. Because as a married man, and your loving your wife in your own way is bound to fail. It took me a long time to realize that, like a lot of us husbands has. It takes the love of God. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand that. So what I had to do is I had to surrender and put off my own way. And I had to be honest with the Lord. Because I tell you, in the beginning, the first few years of my marriage, I can tell you the honest and true. I realized that I was in lust. I was in infatuation. I wasn't in love. I wasn't in true love the way Christ wanted me to love my wife. But when I understood that, I had to be honest about that. And I took it to the Lord, and I asked the Lord to pour that love in my heart for my wife so it can be pleasing to him. And I had to sincerely pray that. And he did. He sincerely did. Over time, it grows. Is it easy? Of course not. You're going to have your challenges. But that's one thing that as married couples, married people today, especially the husband, we have to realize that that is something that God requires for us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And God had to show us the meaning of that. How does Christ love the church? He died for it. He gave himself for us. See, marriage is a representation in his relationship and his love for the body of Christ. You know, so that's why he calls us his bride. So we're going to have to, I really encourage you husbands to ask the Lord to really sincerely to go to the Holy Spirit, to ask the Holy Spirit to check, to search your hearts. And if you're having a hard time, it's okay. Go to the Lord. I've been there. I've done that. And ask the Lord to show you, to pour that love in your heart for your wives. I'm telling you, from experience, trying to do it your way, it's only going to last for so long. Then you're going to realize it's flesh. You realize it's not the love that the way God had loved us. I want to go to the next verse, 26, that you might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that you might present it to himself a glorious church. Matter of fact, let's go down to 28. So are men to love their wives' own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's something else I had to also understand. Because when you're married, you become one. You become one. One flesh in the eyes of God. So the way that you love yourself, you have to you love your wife the same way. What do you do with yourself? You manage yourself very well. You take care of yourself. You nourish yourself. You love yourself. And that's what Christ requires of us as husbands when it comes to our wives. He says, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. I just said that. The man leaving his house, leave his mother, his father, and cleave to his wife, he becomes one flesh with her. So your identity is your wife's identity is a reflection of us as husbands. And it's gonna take a lot of trials and tribulations, but the goal is to learn from it and make the progression. That's the goal. And it's going to be very challenging. Trust me. There's been times in my marriage, bro, to this day, I'd be like, man, why did I get married? But I had to realize that I got to do it the Lord. I got to do it God's way. I want to please the Lord. I want to please my wife. And I also want to please the Lord and do it God's way. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Now I'm going to switch hips and go ahead to the wives. All right, and it reads, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The first verse in 18 when he says to the wives, I want to touch on the wives a little bit. The wives, he says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit unto the Lord. And there's one thing I noticed a lot, you know, hearing female family members, female associates, the stuff they promote, television, that women today take that verse very offensive. They take the verse very offensive. They don't like the idea that you as a wife have to submit to your husband. So what they do today, they take it as they get offended by it, and the devil just mess up their brains, mess up their minds in believing and taking it personal as if that this is saying that the man is better than the woman, especially with all the feminine movement going on and the way the women's right believe that they want to dominate the man, the Jezebel spirit. So women, I encourage you, when he says submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit unto the Lord. That last part, as it is fit unto the Lord. Do it unto the Lord. Do it unto the Lord. You ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to change your perspective, change your heart, change your beliefs. You're doing it unto the Lord because it's pleasing to him. You're doing it his way. You're doing it his way. Even if your husband is not doing everything perfect, but you want to be obedient unto the Lord, command to submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And that doesn't mean that your husband is better than you. It doesn't mean that your husband should be controlling you and all of that crazy stuff, all of the wrong perspectives. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked with the lies. Don't be confused, because that's the lie of the devil. You submit yourself to your husband and to the Lord, and watch how God bless you. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I talked about that earlier, that having a bitter heart against your wives is going to cause you a lot of problems, and your prayers will not be answered. God will shut down from you. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. This is something that I believe as a father, the head of your home, that we have to teach our children today. That's what I do. I teach my children the importance of being obedient and the consequences of being disobedient. And let me know that God sees all of this. God sees your disobedience. God sees your obedience. And just teaching the order of God, the children, your job, your responsibility as children in the household with a mother and father is to obey your parents. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Again, I said I teach my children that it's pleasing to God, not just pleasing to me and their mother, but pleasing unto the Most High God, the Creator, the one they're going to have to answer to at the end of it all. 21 reads, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't provoke your children to be bitter towards you. That's why I've seen, I know a lot of people whose fathers was not in their lives, don't know their fathers, or they grew up in a household with a father who's abusive or talked to them crazy, and it caused them a lot of problems in their adulthood, basically in their teenage lives. As they get older, they go through a lot of challenges. A lot of them have anger issues, they deal with a lot of rebellion, frustration, unforgiveness. It's very effective, and that's what God means when He says, don't provoke your children to anger. It's our responsibility as fathers to be there, to lead them, to guide them, to love them, and also to correct them. I say that last part again, to correct them, to bring correction. Even God tells us that he chastised those he loves. If he chastised you, you're his son, you're his daughter. If he doesn't, you don't belong to him. And he does it out of love. So, you know, God also tells us to correct them with discipline. when it's required, when it's needed. That also means whippings. You know, I'm old school. I come up in the old school days where, you know, whippings was not of a big deal as they're trying to make it today. And that's why we have so many of our young people that are dying, then going to jail and prison, that lost. Because we got parents out here that are too busy trying to be their children's friends and not being a parent. They don't want to correct them. They don't want to deal with it. They just want to spoil them. And then when they get older, it's too late. I've seen that on countless occasions as a police officer where the parents is calling the police on their children. And the children be like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. They call the police on their children. That was unheard of in my day. It was unheard of because they're scared of their children. They can't control them. Well, if they would have put things in order when they was an adolescent, when they was younger, they wouldn't have that problem. And that's something I strictly enforce in my household. With love, though. With love, not with fear, but with love. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, and it reads, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." You fathers, we have fathers today who don't provide for their children. They're not in their children's lives. They know they have children, but they don't provide for them. They're not there for them financially, physically, emotionally, support. Kind of, you're not there. God calls you worse than an infidel. You have denied the faith. All right, ain't no way you're going to sit here and tell me you are a man of God and knowing you have children out there and you not doing what you're supposed to do. You all up in the church raising, lifting your hand, praising, crying out to God, and you don't have not one conviction about your children. But that's what God says about you, about men, about fathers who do not take care of their home. This also represents, if you do, those who you have a whole family, you have wives, you're putting others before your household. You're putting others before your household. I don't care who it is, husbands, father, you shouldn't be giving your relatives, moms, dads, brothers, cousins, best friends, you know, meeting their needs first before your own home. That's just pleasing to God. So don't look at it as, oh, I'm sacrificing to have a good heart. No, that's not God's order. God's word says obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants you to put your family first. So you know the saying that people, we always say growing up, that says family first? Well, God meant that. Anyone don't provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This is clearly the word of God. So let's understand that your wife comes first. Your wife comes first. Comes before your mothers. Come before your sister. Come before your grandmother. Your children. Comes before your little nieces and nephews. Comes before your little neighbor's kids. Comes from kids you work with. How are you gonna give to a family that's in need and your household hungry? That's out of order. It's not of God. So whoever told you that, or any conviction or tradition of that, is wrong. And then you wonder why that's going to cause confusion and animosity. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. So let's solidify this order. And it reads, "But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." I'm going to read that again. "But I will have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." That is the order, the household of God. God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the man of the house, the woman, and then the children. So there's a lot of attack of that going on today, as we can see in society. It's a lot of attack on things, on the order of God. You got these families, you got women, women marrying women, men marrying men, and raising kids. That's not of God. That's out of order. That's not of order. And then you got women, they got this mind of independent, and or women who feel like because they make more money than the husband, they the dominant one, they run the household, they wear the pants. That's not right. The devil is attacking families today, and that's why we're having these issues, because we're giving it to the opposite of God's standard. We want to do things, the society is changing things to the way they want it to be. Just forget what God say. Forget how it's supposed to be. And it's causing problems. You got children telling the parents what to do. They running a household. I've seen, literally seen, like I told you, that the parents are scared of their own children. See, children talk to their parents in a kind of way, very disrespectful, giving them anything they want. Like, it's crazy. That's what's unheard of, you know, when I was coming up. So that's the order of God. That's the order of the household of God. And we got to get back to that. We got to promote that. We got to be serious about that. It's really going to cause a lot of problems in the future. It's already a lot of confusion now. We got to get back to order. Fathers, we got to get back to being responsible for our children. Husbands, being responsible for our wives and loving our wives and being responsible for our household. Because God's going to hold us accountable. A lot of things that's going on in the world with our children, our young people, because it starts in the home. It don't start with the teachers. It don't start with the police, all this police, all this stuff you see, all this rebellion comes from lies in the house, in the household, the homes, being out of order. Fathers, sometimes, and fathers, a husband, you got to put your foot down. You got to put your foot down. Sometimes, you know, that's what you got to do. Sometimes the wife ain't always going to understand everything. She's going to be in her emotions. That's why the words are there, weaker vessels. They ain't going to understand. If she loves the Lord, she will submit to you, submit to your authority, and honor you. So you got to, when I say put your foot down, let's not take that out of context. You mean like put your foot down and controlling and showing you the man and showing your testosterone. I don't mean like that. I mean like as the head of the household, sometimes you got to be the one. You got to be the one to set the standard. You got to be the one who makes the decision sometimes, the final decision. You got to be the one to stand up and give your life for your family. Close up. I got some notes in my Bible. It says, it gives you 15 steps that parents, as fathers, particularly, it can go for wives to mothers, but mainly for fathers, because I really believe that a lot of young people are hurting because of the absence of their fathers. Having a father makes a difference. Thank God that I have my father in my life. Thank God for that. But for those who don't have your father, you don't even know your father, you have a father in heaven, and you can break that curse. You have a father in heaven, and you can break the curse of fatherlessness with your children. So I want to give you these few steps that I encourage you that will, you know, really stand up in building godly children. Building children to have conviction of the Holy Ghost. And that's something that I really thrive on as a father. You know, God showed me a lot of the ignorance I had growing up. A lot of things I didn't understand, a lot of mistakes I made, decisions I made. So what I do is, I believe it's my job to protect them from making those same mistakes. Are you gonna be able to stop them from making mistakes? No, you're not. They're gonna have to make mistakes to learn. You know, but I make it my business to teach my children the things of God. You know, to create that atmosphere in my home that for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And they see that the father and their mom is on the same page. So the first thing I want to read, it says that here are 15 steps that parents should take to lead their children to lives of godliness in Christ. The first thing is to dedicate your children to God at the beginning of their lives. I remember doing that when my firstborn was born. I remember praying over her when she was just a few days old. I remember asking God, I dedicate my children to the Lord, and I ask the Lord to give me wisdom as a father to raise them, wisdom in teaching them, wisdom in providing for them and managing them and serving them and raising them up in the way they should go. So that's the first thing, is to dedicate your children unto the Lord. Scriptures that support that is 1 Samuel 1, chapter 1, verse 28, and Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Number two, teach your children to fear the Lord and turn away from sin, to love righteousness and to hate evil, instill in them an awareness of God's attitude and judgment towards sin. References for that is Hebrews chapter 1 and 9. It's something I thrive on teaching my children. That comes with teaching them the consequences of, you know, of being disobedient. I mean, being disobedient and doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. You know, my prayer is I always pray. When I pray for my children, I pray that the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of God would give them conviction at an early age. So when I'm not around, when their mother's not around, that when they're out and about and they're wrong, as they get older, Spirit will give them conviction. And if they're around the wrong people, around the wrong friends, getting to stuff that it shouldn't be given in, that the Holy Ghost will give them conviction. If they see something on TV that they shouldn't be watching, the Holy Ghost will give them conviction that it's not right. And that's my number one prayer, that I pray that the Lord will give them conviction. Give them conviction, oh Lord, to please you. Give them conviction to know right and wrong and to turn from wrong and seek righteousness. Three, it says, teach your children to obey you by loving use of biblical discipline. The scriptures referred to that is Deuteronomy 8:5, Proverbs 3, verse 11 through 12, and Hebrews 12 and 7. The next one reads, protect your children from ungodly influences by being aware of Satan's attempt to destroy them spiritually through attraction to the world or through immoral companions. That is vitally important, especially today in this society, what's going on. There's so much confusion, so much lies, that the devil is after our children. Again, that is why we have so much rebellion, so much confusion in our community, especially the black community, especially the black community. Our black community is so confused. Our black community is so rebellious. Our black community is so violent against each other. Our black community is so selfish. And our black community is so ignorant in a lot of ways. And we're doing it to ourselves. We got to break these curses. We got to get back to morals and values and biblical principle in raising our children. Having order, having godly principle in our households. And then when they don't have that, they're easily influenced. The stuff they're seeing on TV, the lies, all the confusion, seeing all of this, the LGBT, homosexual agenda is being pushed heavily on them, and they're being influenced by this stuff. You got kids now, they're influencing kids to be kids to be transgenders, poisonous, and these kids don't have the proper guidance and the proper support and the proper values and morals of God. They're gonna do anything, and the devil gets them. And on several occasions where there is parents in the household, both parents, and they still, and the parents would be ignorant because the devil got them. So the devil got the parents. What chance do you think the child's going to have? So we got to be aware of these evil influences. We got to be responsible parents and monitor what they listen to on the radio. But they're watching on TV, social media. You got girls who's 16, 12 years old, all six on social media posing pictures as if they're adults. It's insane. The devil has really got a grip on our young people, and we're losing the battle because of ignorance, because we want to be pleasing to everybody else. Everybody want to just be accepted for who they are. And they don't even know who they are. They're already confused. And it's sad. It's very sad. The next one is, in fact, I can give you some scriptures on that last one. Proverbs 13:20, Proverbs 28:7, 1 John 2:15-17. And the next one reads, make your children aware that God is always observing and evaluating what they do, think, and say. It's something I asked myself a question a long time ago. I said, why is it that when we are doing something, when we tend to want to get involved in something that we know we shouldn't be doing, we know it's wrong, but we made up our mind to do it, why is it that we are concerned about not getting caught by our parents, not getting caught by the police, not getting caught by teachers, but we're not concerned about God seeing it? Like, we tend to fear being caught by everybody else but God. Knowing God see everything, but it don't bother you. I asked myself that a long time ago. Why is that? Because that's the lack of the fear of God. Got to teach our children the fear of God. Have to teach our children the fear of God. Because when you have the fear of God, you won't just do anything. And that goes back to what I said earlier, why I really enforce my prayer time for my children, that the conviction of the Holy Ghost come upon them at an early age. They have the fear of the Lord. And also a way it helps that is by them seeing it, seeing the example. They have to see it through us. We can't tell them not to do something and then we turn around and doing it. Tell them they shouldn't be listening to something, then they turn around and see us listening to it, jamming to it. You're teaching them double mindedness. All right. The next one is, or the scripture for that is Psalms 139, verse 1 through 12. So we got to teach our children to be aware that God is always watching and to have to fear the Lord. The next one is, do all you can to help your children come early in life to personal faith, repentance, and water baptism in Christ. We have to teach our children the faith and the Christianity faith, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a believer. So that's what we're missing. Even the churches today is don't even have conviction no more in the church. But I see churches today, man, they got the kids in the church, kids program, dancing in front of the congregation to rap music, the rap beats, you know, worldly stuff. The church is not even convicting no more, because the church is looking like the world. So we have to get back to teaching our children the values of Christ. The next one is, establish your children in a spiritual church where God's word is proclaimed, His righteous standards honored, and the Holy Spirit manifested. Teach them the motto, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, which is Psalms 119, verse 63, and Acts chapter 12, verse 5. That piggyback off what I was just saying, that we have to get our children in a church that stands on the word of God. I know any church, unfortunately, church these days ain't hitting on nothing because it don't have the conviction anymore. You know, we crazy thing I see is when Halloween come up, we take our children and go trick or treating at the church to have Halloween activities at the church. And then we confuse them and think because we're doing it at the church, it's okay. And it's not. So that's one thing I'm very conscious about, what my children are receiving from churches. But that first has to be an example in your household as well. So as they get older, they won't be deceived. The next one is, encourage your children to remain separated from the world and to witness and work for God, which is 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 2 Corinthians 7:1. Teach them that they are strangers and aliens on this earth. Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16, that their real home and citizenship is in heaven. We got to teach our children that we are in the world, but we shouldn't be of it. What do you mean by that? Well, we got to teach our children that we don't go by the worldly system. We are children of God. Your real home is the kingdom, is heaven. So you're a reflection of where you're from. We come from God. So we can't conform. You got to teach your children not to conform to this world. And that goes with the values of teaching them early, giving them the plan for that conviction early, teaching them the conviction early to know how to separate themselves. When they see a group of friends going one way, they know that nope, that's not it. They ain't going down that path. As they go down the path, just that one time, it can cost them a lifetime consequence that they can't take back. The next one is, instruct your children in the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 1, verse 4 to 5. The next one is, teach your children that God loves them and has a specific purpose for their lives. You got to teach our children that they're here for a reason. They're here because God put them here. God put, you know, encourage your children. And I mainly say this to fathers again. It's our responsibility to encourage our children that they are great. They are special. They are loved. They can do anything they put their mind to. My girls want to be pilots and doctors. Well, I make sure I instill in them that they can do it. They can put their mind to it, work hard, they can do it. So I encourage them and teach them that with God, all things is possible. And I teach them that whatever they do, now my prayer is whatever they do become doctors and pilots, that they do it unto the Lord, the real reflection of Christ. So we got to teach them that they do have a purpose. Luke, that's Luke. A reference for that is Luke 1:13-17, Romans 8:30, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3-9. Got a few more, and I'm going to close out. The next one is instruct your children daily in God's word, both in conversation and family devotions. Again, what I said earlier, that comes with the examples. We got to show them the example in the household, showing them the word of God, teaching the word of God, having family devotion. You know, I make it in my business to, I pray with my children. I pray with them. I pray over them, communion. You know, I'm teaching them that. I'm instilling those principles in them. You know, my children now, what I do is I put oil on them, anointing oil on them, and I pray over them. And what they do, they like it. So now they want to get the oil and put it on my forehead and on their mothers and their grandmothers and pray. They want to do the same thing. So that when I see that, they're showing me that, you know, that the Spirit of God is working. It's working. So that's 1 Timothy. Reference for that is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Another one, through example and exhortation, encourage your children to live lives devoted to prayer. Again, that's go back to what I said earlier. You're teaching your children the principles, the act of Christ, being Christian followers, Christ-like, prayer-like. So, like I said, I pray with them. They want to pray. It's not even just me just praying. When I finish praying, they say, "Daddy, can I pray now?" So now we kind of pray. They want to pray. So I let them pray. They go one at a time and pray. And they pray what God puts in their heart. So, that's vitally important. Because what that does is instilling the principles of them developing a relationship with the Holy Ghost, with God, with the Lord, and prayer and communion with Him. And I read the scriptures with them. I have my daughter, my oldest daughter, she's very good at reading. Until my other ones catch up, what I have her to do, I have her to read Proverbs, which is wisdom, to her little sisters. And also speaking the word of God. They may not understand what they're saying, what their spirit does. The Holy Ghost is teaching them. Scriptures for that, referring to that, Acts 6 and 4, Romans 12:12, Ephesians 6:18. Another thing is prepare your children to suffer and endure persecution because of righteousness. They must know that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They got to understand, they got to know that not everybody's going to like them. They're not going to be accepted everywhere. Everybody's not going to be a friend. That includes family members because of they choose to have a righteous lifestyle. You know, when we were coming up in school, that you was considered the lame one, the boring one, the uncool one because you didn't follow everybody. And then, you know, they wind up getting in trouble. You didn't go and do the bad stuff or the things you know that wasn't right. Well, we got to teach our children that being followers of Christ is going to cost you. It's going to cost you some friendships. It's going to cost you relationships. And sometimes you might even be lonely with others, but you won't be lonely because the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. So we got my goal is to teach my children is not to find their identity in their friends, to always want to be accepted. I teach them, my main goal is to teach them to love each other first, that all three of them are each of them is their best friends. So if people don't like them, if their classmates don't like them, or whoever, they got each other. They got each other. And not only that, I teach my children how to fight too, because that don't mean you got to teach your children to be little wimps. You can teach your children to defend themselves. I ain't having no little punk children. I wasn't raised like that. Another one. The last one is lift your children intercession. Note on Jesus' prayer for his disciples as a model of parents' prayers for their children. The way Jesus prayed for his disciples is how we should be praying for our children, should be interceding for our children, because they're vulnerable, and the devil knows that. They're vulnerable, they're innocent, and they're naive. That's why you, as a parent, is responsible, not only for their well-being physically, but also for their well-being spiritually and mentally. You have to cover them in prayer. Plead the blood of Jesus over their minds. Pray for their minds, their body, the spirit, the health, because the devil's going to attack them. And if you sleep and slumber and not aware of what's going on, your children are going to be an easy target. So remember, being responsible for their spirituality, protecting their spirituality is very important. That's just as important, if not more important, as protecting their physical, protecting them physical. The way you want to protect your children from harm, from hurt, from bad things happening to them, that's the same attitude and outlook we have to have on the spirit, in the spirit realm. Because they have a soul and spirit too, and the devil don't care about them. There ain't no such thing as the devil going to leave them alone because they're little children. No. It doesn't work like that. Wish it did, but it don't. Wish I could say, hey, you just mess with me, you leave my children alone, but it don't. And I say that by experience. I've seen my children tortured in the night, torturing spirits. But thank God I'm on the deliverance ministry. Well, I was taught, and I started to understand what it is, and now I attack it. You got to understand when your children are being attacked, when they're in the wrong environment, and they're watching stuff when something ain't right, when they're hanging around the wrong people, wrong children. The Bible says corrupt company brings corrupt manners. And your children, all of a sudden, they hang around certain people, and they come back with a different attitude, different way of thinking. It's your job as a father, as a parent, as the head. That's what God made you the head. You're responsible for them spiritually as well. And put that in order. Just like you put them in check physically when they're out of line, you got to put them in check spiritually. You got to deal with them demons because they come for them. And you got to protect them from the wrong people, even family members. The next scripture for that will be, I refer to that, will be Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And also see John chapter 17, verse 1. And the last one, it said, have such love and concern for your children that you would be willing to pour out your life as if it was a sacrifice to the Lord, in order to deepen their faith and make their lives what they should be in the Lord. You got to be able to be willing to sacrifice yourself for your children. And I believe a lot of us will. We really love your children. If we got to sacrifice the way Christ sacrificed for us, had that type of love, you know, it's, we don't, got to be careful with it. Something I had to learn because I came up pretty tough. I came up hard. You know, I didn't come up with a bunch of affection and all the hugging and all this stuff. I didn't come up like that. But God showed me something, especially that I have girls. But I got to be careful with that, not to give that, give too much of that to them as well. I got to show them what, I got to show love as well. Tough love and love, even with the correction. Teach them when they're wrong, teach them that, teach them, and teach them with love. So we got to be careful as fathers. I know a lot of us as fathers, we can have our manhood and toughness and all that stuff, especially on our sons. Yeah, I'm definitely with all the raising them tough and, you know, and being hard when it's time to be. But also, we have to show them love and compassion. Don't have to always be quick to bring discipline, you know, because if you want to be honest, God, if he really wanted to discipline us for every little thing that we did, he could, and it wouldn't feel good. But he doesn't. He has compassion and love for us and patience with us. So make sure we show that, too. That's very important. So I just wanted to share that. I pray that you guys have received this. It's about conviction. Thank you. Thank you again for listening. I'll see you guys next week. I'm going to turn it over back to Pastor. You know,
I tell you, Rodriguez, that was a powerful teaching from a good father. I've been knowing this brother here since he was young. I've seen him stick with the deliverance ministry. I've seen him become persecuted. I've witnessed and listened to him and saw through his experience of him being arrested for the wrong reason. I see him tied when he didn't have nothing. He tied. Yes, he did. And God has blessed him. And
also, let me also say this really quick. Excuse me, Pastor. When Pastor just said he seen me being persecuted, it dropped in my spirit for fathers, his parents, that you're going to get challenges from loved ones on how to run your household, how to deal with your children. But as long as you know you're doing it God's way, you got to stick to it. You got to stick to it. I've been tested and tried and came against with my own wife, my family members, because of they believe I should be doing things the way out of their feelings, but I do it out of God's way. But when you get those challenges, make sure you stick to it. Don't compromise. And I promise you, and ask the Lord to help you, I promise you, you're going to turn out all right. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, Asha, United States Air Force recruiter. What's going on with the Air Force? Talk to Rodriguez Baker, Phil Artillery. How many more pounds you need to get in the Air Force now?
Kind of there in the evening.
How many more pounds do you need to pick up?
I'm supposed to be, I think, like 104. And then,
How many pounds do you need to pick up? How many more pounds? Just two pounds, 3 pounds? How many pounds?
I have like about, I want to say 2, I think, because it kind of fluctuates throughout the day.
So you need about 3 more pounds.
You're almost there. You're almost there. The fact that you got there closing means you're almost there. So stay consistent. Stay consistent. Before you know it, you'll be encouraging somebody else with your testimony.
Thank you. You'll be an Air Force Airman. Yep. That's good. Rodriguez, Dr. Hillman said we're going to let you close us out. Brother Baker, close us out in prayer. God bless everybody. Let me ask to see if Chaplain Durden wants to say anything, because I got to get on there and teach in about 5 minutes. Okay, Chaplain Durden, do you want to say anything before I go?
Just one quick sentence. Marvelous, marvelous. You really can hear the Holy Spirit, because what you taught tonight and what you debated on, that's not just for somebody, just average kind of a thing. I suspect that, whether you realize it or not, the Holy Spirit was inspiring you to say the words you said, because you don't find somebody who is new in the Lord can do what you're doing, and you don't have that much training from any theological school. What you were talking about is what you get out of mostly out of charismatic, full gospel churches, because you don't hear that in some of the churches I was raised up with. The Lord had to teach me what he taught you, you know, kind of thing. I was very, very impressed with it. I mean, it was nice and easy. It wasn't it was slow, even, explainable. I mean, you communicated, articulated very well, man. That's pretty good. If I didn't know you, I swear you had graduated from some theological school. But you are really right on the money, right on the money. I really enjoyed it. It was really cool. Really cool. God bless you, man. Keep it up.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good work.
I'll give you my numbers to you too.
Baker, when I get off the phone, I'm gonna call you and give you Brother John's number.
Roger that.
1 to 10, you shot 1,000. I give you 1,000 on it. No 100. I double that. That was good, man. Close it out.
Thank you, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and Lord, we give the glory, the honor, and the praise, Lord. I praise, Lord, as you spoke through me, Lord, today, Lord, I pray that, Lord, this message will be eye-opening, Lord, to open those hearts, Lord. I see where everybody sleep upon tonight, Lord. You will minister to their hearts, minister to our hearts as we sleep upon tonight. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience, Lord. And I pray that every listening ear, Lord, that, Lord, you will bless them in a tremendous way, Lord, with an encounter with you, Lord, an impartation with you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Time, I'm going to call you right now, Baker, and give you his number. Time I hang up.
10-4, right, Joe. All right, John.
Team out.
All right.